Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, Andrew B. in Louisiana just sent $100 to help us with our open letter that we plan to publish soon in the Colorado Springs Gazette, an open letter to Dr. James Dobson. CovenantNews.com, under their latest headlines, the number one story is our effort here at Bob Enyart Live to set the record straight regarding this wicked ruling on partial birth abortion and to publish an open letter to Dr. Dobson. So that's the number one story today at CovenantNews.com and perhaps into the weekend. We'll see. I'm going to play you a couple clips. The first will be from the Pro-Life News TV and National Pro-Life Radio and their correspondent who's standing at the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court when they issued their ruling, Gonzalez v. Carhart. And in this clip, you will see what we are up against. You will see what ministries like American Life League, like Operation Save America, what leaders like Alan Keyes are up against, what the editor Jim Rudd of Covenant News is up against, because what you'll hear is a complete misrepresentation of what was going on in the courts. And what was going on in the court was not like it was brand new that morning. This is a 15-year-old story, and these are pro-life leaders, influential people. They know what's going on. So what you're going to hear is the kind of misinformation that is rampant through the pro-life movement, and then this is what we have to rebut. When people tune in this show and they hear, well, that's not true. I hear all these pro-life leaders and news sources saying all this wonderful stuff. So let's hear the first clip.
This is Peter with ProLifeNews.tv and NationalProLifeRadio.net, and I'm standing in front of the Supreme Court. Today, the partial birth abortion ban was upheld. The 5-4 ruling now makes partial birth illegal in the United States of America. This is a significant event. I think a lot of people are going to agree that this is the end of Roe v. Wade. We will see the walls tumbling on the, in the abortion industry. And Reverend Rob Schenck from the Faith in Action is here. Why don't you come on over here and tell us a little bit about this event today?
Well, it's a great day, Peter. For the first time, really, since 1973, we've seen the court make a definitive statement about the sanctity of human life. Unfortunately, in 1973, it was all downhill from there, because what they were saying was there are only certain human lives that have any value in our society. Now, Justice Kennedy, of all people, not the one that we normally think of as squarely on the side of life, has said that the state, meaning the government, has an interest in preserving the life of a child from the moment of conception. So this is a very, very big victory for the sanctity of human life.
I think the echo on this is going to be heard around the world.
Around the world. It's going to be heard right here in Denver. It's going to be heard right here in Denver on KLTT 50,000 watts and on the internet at kgov.com. Where do you begin? I don't have to begin. It's just all misleading or flat out false. For the most part, almost everything we heard was either misleading or flat out false, just not true. Not true. And so that's what we're up against. There are people like pro-lifers on the streets who tune in to pro-life news and listen to national ministries, and what they hear is either false, either misleading, flat out false, or even a lie. And we pat ourselves on the back as we deceive millions of Christians and pro-lifers, and we move on. Now, this next clip is the opposite. I haven't listened to this clip, but we have, my staff said, hey, we got to positive comment about the presentation that I had the honor of giving at the Capitol for Colorado Right to Life's 40 Years in the Wilderness event. And so I'll be hearing this with you at the same time. And the gentleman is somewhat well-known in the pro-life community, and he gives his name, so I'm eager to hear this. Let's hear it.
Hey, Bob, George Lilly. A long time no see, but I was down at the Right to Life at the Capitol today, and I didn't get a chance to say hi, but I did want to commend you for what I thought was a pretty impressive presentation and certainly a long overdue and very highly needed expose on the duplicity, fraud, corruption, insincerity, hypocrisy. Let's see if I left anything else out regarding the Republicans in general and all politicians in specific.
Yeah.
So well done in that regard. And if you want to touch base for any reason, 303.
That was encouraging that George Lilly appreciated the presentation and the truth, the other side of the issue. The truth. Wow. Now, I got an email, and I wonder if I'd like to read you this email because it's negative, but it comes from a friend. It's very negative about the shows we've been doing about the partial birth abortion ruling, the 40-year anniversary, the pledge at Colorado Right to Life to never compromise on God's enduring command, do not murder, and so on. And so this is from a friend. So when a friend sends you a message, that's more significant than when it's coming from an enemy. And I won't give his name. I'll give his first name. No, I won't give his first name either, because I don't want people trying to guess, oh, who is, oh, it's so-and-so. So he sends me this email. And this is from less than a day ago. Bob, how many shows, the headline, the subject is constant abortion shows. Bob, how many shows are you going to devote to abortion? I know abortion is dead wrong, and I'm sure 99% of your listeners know it's wrong. I'm even sure that those who get an abortion know it's wrong. Why must you keep hammering on the same subject? It's getting so repetitious that I'm about to delete you from my favorites. I think you get the message, Bob. And then he signs his name. And he's a friend, obviously. I mean, he's marking this show in his favorites. So I responded, you're making great points. And because we stream the program online and also provide downloads, I can watch the audience numbers dwindle. So, of course, you're right. My problem is that we are attempting to turn a portion of the pro-life movement away from a godless strategy to one that honors the Lord. And moving off the topic of the PBA ruling and these recent events too soon will reduce our chances of doing just that. We have been talking about how many here at the studio, for example, at our BEL cabin, we have been talking about how many more days my show could survive this effort without totally losing the audience. War is not fun. And of course, you're right. Signed, Bob. So yeah, he's right. He is right. It's painful. It's painful for me. You know, there are a lot of people in the country who said they were excited that we went to war in Iraq against terrorists and a terrorist regime. Saddam Hussein's government supported terrorism openly, funding terrorist acts and so on. And a lot of people were excited that we went to war against the terrorists, but then it takes a long time and it's bloody. People are dying and it gets old. And then many people want to cut and run. Costs a lot of money. Cost a lot of blood, and they want to cut and run. Or it's getting old, it's getting boring, the headlines are too repetitive. Another IED, improvised explosive device. Another roadside bombing. Three more Americans killed. It's getting old. Yeah, it gets old. I've been fighting abortion somewhat actively. I mean, the other things we do that take up our focus, for example, fighting against evolutionists. The whole creation-evolution battle and explaining how geology affirms the Bible's account of Noah's flood and all the billions of fossils laid down rapidly by water all over the world. So we do that, and we debate evolutionists, and we debate atheists, right? And we discuss theology and show that it's not God's will that someone, for example, would molest a child and torture and murder the child. That's not God's will. God is not on both sides of the war over homosexuality or abortion and so on. God doesn't decree that a marriage would end in divorce. He doesn't do that. He hates divorce and so on and so on. So there are all these vital issues that we deal with, but abortion is up there as one of the more significant. We've spent at times a week or more on creation evolution. We deal with history, economics, science, theology, language issues. I mean, there's so many topics we cover over the months and the years. In fact, our Bob and Yurt Live library that some people purchase has our literature, audio, and video resources that cover literally dozens of topics. So we cover all that. But then as you prioritize what are you going to focus on at any given time, you look at, well, what's happening that's most significant. And if you had lived in America in the 1850s and 60s, and you were a Christian, and your ministry was to alcoholics, and you completely ignored the plight of the blacks who were owned as slaves, well, then probably you would have been missing the boat. You could have a ministry to alcoholics. That's important. But to think that that gives you carte blanche to be outwardly apathetic to blacks being owned and treated like cattle, that would be not true. That's just not true. Everyone at that time who knew right from wrong would have an obligation to their neighbor. It's called loving your neighbor. And to God, love your neighbor as yourself. You would have an obligation to your neighbor and to God to use your influence to some degree to try to bring that great injustice to an end. If you were a Christian, you lived in Germany when they started slaughtering people in concentration camps, and even before that, and start rounding them up. And even before that, when there was official governmental racism against Jews, if you thought, well, my ministry, I have a music ministry, and that doesn't involve standing up for Jews who are being killed. After all, you know, many of them, they don't even believe in Jesus. So what does that have to do with me? I'm a music minister. I don't have a ministry to protect the Jews who are being killed in my country. It's not my job. I wasn't called to that. What? The Apostle Paul didn't do that. So that is not called mature Christianity. That's called apathy. It's called apathy. And we are called to love God and love our neighbor. And what does it mean to love your neighbor? Jesus gave an example with the Good Samaritan. In the Gospel of John, he said the Samaritans, they don't even know God. So he wanted to give an example of somebody who actually was loving, as love God and love your neighbor. And so he told the parable of the Good Samaritan. And he said it was the Samaritan who, after these criminals took their victim, beat him, robbed him, and left him for dead, he would have died. The priest walked by, and he went on the other side of the street because he had a Bible study to get to. Then the Levite, he walked by, he went on the other side of the street because he had choir practice to get to. But then it was the Samaritan who was a Samaritan. He's not a Jew. I mean, there's no evidence in the parable that he was part of God's covenant relationship with Israel. That's why Jesus pointed out he's a Samaritan. in John chapter 4. He said, the Samaritans, you guys don't even know who God is. You're wrong on your religious beliefs. And Jesus said it was the Samaritan who went and gave of his life, his time, his money, his resources to try to intervene and save this man's life, who was a victim of a criminal, of criminals. And Jesus said, that's what it means to love your neighbor. And the two commands that God cares most about, it's not giving money to church. I know that once out of every eight sermons on average is about tithing. I know that. But that's not one of the top two commands that God gives. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So I know that when I do these rotten, boring, miserable shows to try to explain how we fight the battle against the killing of children, I know it's monotonous. I want to tear my hair out. I just tear my hair out. I know that. And I know that people leave. I watch the audio statistics on the back end of our website at kgov.com, and I see how they dwindle, how people leave. It's hard for me to blame them. How do I blame them? I'd probably leave. But that doesn't mean that what we're doing is not wise or not important or not right. Remember Jesus, he would teach and he would give the lighter stuff and then the harder stuff. And when he taught on the harder stuff, people would leave. His followers would leave. The crowd left, his followers left, his disciples would leave. And then he turned to Peter and the 12. And he said, are you going to leave also? Are you going to leave too? And thankfully, they didn't leave. They stayed with him. And he is God, our creator, God the Son. He is the second person of the Trinity. And alone, he could have done what he had to do. But thankfully, they didn't leave. Everybody else left. And Elijah, he would preach the message that the Lord wanted him to preach, and he got really discouraged because nobody cared. Nobody cared. He was so discouraged, he went to the Lord, and he said, Lord, this is it. There's nobody else. It's just one, me. What's the sense of any of this? And God said, Elijah, it's not just you. There are 7,000 others. There are 7,000 others in the land who have not bowed the knee to Baal, 7,000 others. So don't be discouraged. Don't look at the audio statistics on the back end of your website, Elijah. Don't worry about that. Honor me, obey me, glorify me, teach others to obey me, and no matter what happens in the short term, I will bless you and your efforts. Because when you honor me, you are blessed. And when you dishonor me, you are cursed. It's not mystical. It's not magical. I don't even have to specially intervene. That's just the cause and effect reality of the world that I created. When you honor me and obey me, you are blessed, even if they kill you for it. When the apostles were persecuted and even martyred, they were killed for disobeying the governing authority, they were blessed. When the prophets were persecuted and some tortured and some imprisoned and some killed, they were blessed. Do right and risk the consequences. We obey God rather than man. And this doesn't only apply to fighting against abortion. It's your whole life. It's your ministry. It's your relationship with your wife and your kids. Do you dishonor God when you're home? When everybody goes to bed? Oh, nobody's looking, only God. I'm going to go to the computer and get some pornography. Just God and I will look at the porn. Everybody else is asleep. In my life as a Christian years ago, back in 1988, I became a Christian in 1973, and wow, What a difference in my life. I went to high school, public school. I told everybody about the Lord. I didn't know you were supposed to just show it by your lifestyle. I just told them. I never heard about lifestyle evangelism. I just read in the Bible, it said every day, tell people about salvation. Tell people about the gospel. Use your mouth and tell them. And if you don't tell them, how will they hear if you don't tell them? How will they believe if they don't hear? So tell them. So I told them. And then kids in the high school started to get saved, become Christians. That was pretty cool. And my brother, David, he got saved. My brother Brian, he became a Christian. My sister Susan, she got saved. My mother, Connie, you know Connie, she works at our office. She got saved. A few years later, my father, Robert V. Victor Enyart, he got saved. Thankfully, because then he died some years later. He's with the Lord now. And we have extended family members who got saved. And the students at the high school, a number of them got saved. And so many got saved that we started a band, a rock band, to play Christian rock music. We thought we invented the idea of Christian rock. We thought we invented it. We had never heard of it. So we started a Christian rock band. We thought we'd just take the world by storm. We did concerts with Christian rock and roll. And kids got saved. And I don't know, I never kept the numbers, but there were dozens of kids who got saved. And many, many of those kids now are adults in Christian marriages, raising their children as Christians. So that was pretty cool. But I never heard that it was lifestyle evangelism. You're supposed to only show them by your lifestyle. I read in the Bible where you're supposed to open your mouth and tell them. And they might get mad at you. They might get angry. They probably won't give you an award, but you tell them. So I told them. And there's been a good result in the lives that have been changed, including my own. But then as life went on, and I got married and had kids and had a lot of financial needs and started doing really well at work and making more and more money, I ended up at Microsoft with 5,000 stock options and Microsoft stock. That's back in, 1988. So, you know, making a ton of money for a young guy. And if I would have stayed at Microsoft, those stock options today are worth something like $40 million. But I left, and no regrets, not one speck of a regret. I left, and what had happened was my life had gotten wrapped up into making money, basically, which is not wrong at all. That's a good thing, to make money, make a lot of money. That's not wrong, but I started to, just live for the world, the flesh, money, pleasure, whatever. And, you know, we went to church, but not quite as often. I sort of stopped reading the Bible and stopped talking to people about the Lord and just making a lot of money and having fun in life, and fun is great. And then I saw on national TV, Randall Terry at the Democratic National Convention in Atlanta, Georgia. And he was, with other Christians, going to abortion clinics and sitting in front of the clinic doors and putting their bodies in between the abortionist who would kill the child and any hope for life for that child. And they were doing it in the name of Jesus Christ to teach people that thou shalt not murder is not a suggestion. It's a command from God. It's an enduring command. And to make matters worse, people who murder their kids and advocate it, their heart becomes increasingly harder against God. And the law is the great teacher to lead men to Christ. And so when the law says you could commit adultery, you could kill your children, it's all legal, that begins to destroy the ministry of the body of Christ. And I saw Randall Terry and these other Christians, and I was in shock. I was in shock. I couldn't believe Christians had the courage to do that. And the first thought I remember was that I had said, once I learned about the Holocaust in Germany, the Germans slaughtering the Jews, men, women, and children, I had thought, if I had been there, I would have done something. I don't know what I would have done, but I would have done something to try to save somebody. That's what I thought. And then I realized they're doing that today. It's not in Germany. It's not a half a century ago. It's today. They're killing kids right here in America. And I do have an opportunity, and I've done nothing. And so I joined Operation Rescue Colorado, moved back to Colorado, and went to Boulder to rescue with Operation Rescue, and then Denver, and then Fort Collins. And ever since then, I have realized that when God says in the Bible that you need to care about widows and orphans and injustice and loving your neighbor and not being apathetic and not using your theology class as an excuse to not love your neighbor, and you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. And the prophets, they cried out against the shedding of innocent blood because that was what was on God's heart. And all the things that God hates, the hands that shed innocent blood, he hates those hands even more so than the vast majority of the wickedness that it's done. That's what God says. So, yeah, it gets old. It gets monotonous. It gets boring. But Jesus said that Good Samaritan, he's the one who loved his neighbor. He's the one who loved his neighbor. And we forget, that's the second. Jesus was asked, what's the most important command? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. The second is like the first. The second is like the first. And Jesus said, you know, when you do it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. So that's why we risk losing audience. And when we lose audience, we lose revenue. And Bob in Your Life struggles to stay on the air for all these years. We struggle with every bill that comes in to pay every bill. And so the fact that we got over $4,000 toward this open letter to Dr. Dobson, that's extraordinary. It is absolutely extraordinary. And so we will use that money wisely, and hopefully we're hoping to raise a couple thousand more so we could do the letter, the ad, and the internet advertising to really get the word out. We could use your help at kgov.com. And remember, Maranatha Christian Center, what a neat school, Maranatha.